Good afternoon. It's always nice to see everyone here. And welcome to those online. Wish we could all be together. Be nice. Today I'd like to talk about two things. There's two things that we need in life. Two things that we need to accomplish the goal that God has for us. And if we want to succeed, we need both of these things. The first one is trials. That's not anything that we enjoy, but we need them. I'd like to start in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I have a hard time with that one. I don't get excited with trials. I don't, you know, it's not a big party to me. But there's a reason he says that. Knowing the testing of our faith produces patience. So even though there's trials that we go through, there's a reason for it. It's not always easy to see at the time. Sometimes it may take years to recognize the reasons why. But trials do have benefit for us. You know, some of the testing that we go through is from God. God allows it. God will actually put us through that for a reason. God does nothing without purpose. It's not just that he wants us to suffer. He has a reason for it. And he doesn't put us through those trials without potential benefit to us. And he looks in the long run, not the short run. We tend to look at the present and the difficulties that it creates. But God looks at the long run, the end goal of that process. God looks at our life a very different time frame than we do. We always are wrapped up in the moment, but God has more of a bird's eye view of our life. And if you ever fly in a plane or just are up high elevation, you're looking down at the trees, you see all the spaces between them. But when we're on the ground in the middle of a trial, all we see is more trees and more trees. That's all we see. But God sees the openings. God sees the goal of where he's trying to get us to. But from that bird's eye view, he sees, or more than a bird's eye view, from God's view, he sees the goal, the purpose, the reason, and the direction to get there. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, and starting in verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and a sign of wonder that comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go up after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God allows us to be exposed to false teachings, other trials that it may be, but God does test us, and he does it for a reason. He always has that reason for us. God will test us to see where we stand, our heart, soul, and mind. There's always that purpose in his goal. A good example would be Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. He spoke, you know, God looked on him as a special individual. But he had to potentially sacrifice his own son. He was willing to do that. And God says, "Now I know." God tested him, and he passed that test with flying colors. Was that easy for him? Absolutely not. I'm sure that would tear him up thinking about it, but he realized God could bring him back up. God could provide another sacrifice like he did. He just knew God would work it out. And that's how we have to look at all the trials we go. We know that God will work them out. And we each have our own sort of trials. They can vary in severity, frequency. So we all have our own things. And a lot of times I find it fascinating that you can know somebody for years and all of a sudden you find out some of the past things they went through, and it just amazes me that they have such a good attitude and they're so positive because they've been through incredible things and have came out on the other side of it. And that's something that it's easy to not be aware of. All of us, we've had our trials. We don't know what they are entirely, but we know we've had some hard ones, and we have to get through those. A question that a lot of people, are trials because of sin? Okay, sin has consequences and effects, but trials are not because of sin. Will that sin create problems for you? Sure. You know, if somebody drinks too much and they drive, they have problems. They run in a ditch. So it can have an effect, but the trials are not just because of what we do. Sometimes God allows us to go through those things. I'd like to turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and starting in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. So a lifelong problem that he had. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The first thing they're doing is accusing them of sin, or the man of sin, either him or her parents. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So God allowed this man, or used the man that was blind from birth, as a way to teach other people. This man didn't do anything wrong, his parents didn't do anything wrong, but God used the circumstance and healed him just to show that God had that ability. And God should have his glory shown. There's a purpose beyond the man himself. You know, it wasn't that the man caused that or his parents caused it, but God seeing a purpose beyond his circumstance and something that he wanted to use for the benefit of others. And that shows that God had the power and the mercy toward him and also as a teaching tool. I'd like to turn to Job as another one, which is one of those stories that we're all quite aware of. And Job in chapter 1 and verse 8. Job chapter 1 and verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So God looked at Job with a very positive outlook. Now, was he blameless and he's never sinned? No. But he was living his life in a proper way, the best he could, according to God's way. And he feared God and he avoided the evil. So that's a positive thing. And yet Satan wanted to test him, figured he could break him. So God allowed it. God allowed Job to go through a really difficult time. And he lost his wealth. He lost his children. And he was suffering physically from all the boils and things that he had. But he still didn't curse God. He still looked to God. And God was pleased with Job in that sense. But did Job have some things to learn from it? Sure. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. And the reason I bring this example up is, how did God look at Job's friends for accusing him falsely, saying that he sinned and brought that on himself? God was very displeased with those friends for making false accusations or assuming that Job had done something wrong. God said he was blameless and upright, but they tried to accuse him of doing something that caused God to be angry with him. And God will allow Satan to stress us out, to tempt us, but he always puts those limits on him like he did Job. And the test, the point I want to make out of this example is, and the previous ones, is the test do not equal sin. The test we go through does not mean that we've done something wrong to cause that test. God sees the benefit in our lives some way, somehow. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And we all, it's really easy for us to feel like that we're burdened down by things, that we're going through trials, you know, things that are so severe that nobody could be suffering that bad. Right in the middle of it always seems that way, no matter what it is. But it says in Corinthians here, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except that is as is common to man. So we all go through similar trials, varying degrees of difficulty, even in our own life. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation or test will make you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And that's the key. God doesn't want to break us. God wants to teach us. And those tests are a teaching tool to help God see what our heart is and what our mind is, and to learn from them, not to cause us just undue suffering. You know, tests are never fun, and, you know, trial, you can call it a test. Even in school, tests weren't fun. You had to study for them and study for them, and then I'd still hope you get a bit better grade than you would probably get. But it's like those tests weren't fun, and we're literally in God's school right now. We're being called, and we're in training to become heirs with Christ. We're in a school that God has set up, and we're being trained to rule with Christ when we graduate. You know, many examples in the Bible of those that were tested, were any of them easy? I'd like to just go through Hebrews, kind of run through that a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11, and I'll just start in verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure. Let's see, I'm in the wrong chapter. It's chapter 11, not verse 10. Okay. Chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to believe him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We don't suffer without knowing we have a reward coming. It's not heaven like the world looks at, but we know there's the kingdom that we look forward to, where we can be with God and to be able to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. So we know there's a reward there. And then you can go through these just briefly. We'll just kind of skim through this. Noah being divinely warned, I'll get it right eventually, of the things yet seen, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear to prepare an ark. So he had never seen a flood before, and he was asked to build an ark on dry land that he couldn't possibly move, but he trusted God. He believed God had a reason, God had a purpose, and God would make something work out. Or like Abraham, it said he obeyed when he was called to go out in a place where, in which he would afterwards receive an inheritance. So Abraham moved without knowing the end. He followed God's command to go out. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents. So he went through a less than desirable thing. It wasn't like you'd like to camp every day. Camping's fun, but not every day. You know, it gets tiresome. And then even, I think it's neat that Abraham and Sarah are listed in this. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. So Sarah believed and trusted God that he could work out the impossible. And as we go down, the same thing. All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, confessed them, that there were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But they seen that goal, they realized God would work it out, and they trusted God. So as we go through trials, we have to always trust God that he will work it out, that he will make that way of escape as we need it. When we're at the end of the rope, he'll either provide a little extra rope, or he'll work the problem out. And we can just, I mean, continue on down in here. And the things that people went through, you know, it's like, let's see, let's go over to 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received in a figurative sense. So this continues on by faith, and it obviously, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. So the parents had the faith to believe that God would provide. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he had everything offered to him, power, money, everything he could possibly want. And what God offered and showed him was worth more. So he was willing to give all that up and trust God to work things out. You know, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people than to enjoy the passing pleasure. Down in 28, by faith, he kept the Passover sprinkling blood, lest he who be destroyed. And so the Passover, they believed God and did what they were told to do. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. As a child, that always fascinated me, that the water would divide and you'd walk through. Water on both sides. Be a good fishing spot. You just cast either side and you'd have some fish. But I'm sure the nerves were a little on edge. And even though they believed enough to walk through that, they still had to trust God would hold it back until they got through. Going on, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled. By faith, Rahab the harlot, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish because she had helped the spies. So we can go through over and over, you know, down further down, women received their dead raised to life again. Still others had trials of mocking and scourging, yes, chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain by the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskin. So we've had a bad day sometimes, right? Some of these were pretty bad. Some of them died. Even like the example of Stephen in the Bible, he was stoned to death. It wouldn't be a fun way to go, but God gave that way of escape by letting him see that he had a future. As he was dying, he could see a vision. And that was showing the mercy of God to allow him to see that, to go through the suffering he was going through. And the key is by faith. Now put our name in there. Where do we stand? Do we trust God no matter what? If life gets really bad, if we're looking at things that are life-threatening, do we trust God? Do we trust God unconditionally? No exceptions, unconditionally. We have to trust God no matter what we face and no longer how long we face it. We have to be so set on the kingdom of God that we don't budge from that goal. You know, do we see afar off and do we have that vision to keep us alive, to keep us focused? I'm going to bring up a little analogy since I like to hunt, so I'll throw this in here. If you take an arrow or a bullet, either one, and you shoot it, there's a fair amount of power behind either one of them, especially a bullet. But you can take a high-powered rifle bullet and shoot it and hit a twig, and it'll deflect that bullet. A bullet traveling 7,000 or several thousand feet per second, it can hit a little twig and it'll divert it. It doesn't change the directions entirely, but it will divert that. And sometimes a 90-degree angle. So it doesn't take much to deflect it. In our life, is there anything that can deflect us? We're focused on the kingdom. Is there anything, any little twigs, any little problems in our way that will just deflect us enough that we miss that goal? It doesn't have to turn around backwards. It just has to deflect it. So we have to be careful that we don't let the test, sometimes big, sometimes little, cause us to get off course. In Revelations, I want to just turn here because it's like my favorite verse in the Bible. Just my personal favorite. Revelations 21. Starting verse 3, verse 3 and verse 4. Revelations 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's what we look forward to. That's what we have to keep our eyes on, that all the problems eventually end. My dad and I talk about stuff a lot, and we always come back to one thing. All the things we go through in life are temporary. Life is temporary. This is just a moment in time that we're in school, and God is training us, and we can't let anything take our minds off of the kingdom of God and that goal and what he has prepared for us. And I said at the beginning, we needed two things in life. Any guesses what the second might be when the first one's kind of unpleasant? Well, the second one is opposite, blessings. We need blessings. And it's for a reason. You know, God says he'll make a way of escape. Those blessings are the way of escape. It may be sparing our life many times over, but it's the encouragement that we need along the way, or we wouldn't be able to bear a lot of the trials we go through. You have a really, really tough trial, things improve. Sometimes we need those blessings to survive. And I want to go back to Job just to kind of bring this point out. Job chapter 42. Chapter 42, and starting in verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Now, there was a condition there. When Job prayed for his friends made the mistake. They accused Job, but God wanted Job to be of a forgiving mind, and he wanted Job to pray for them. When he prayed for his friends, and indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, then all of his brothers and sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity the Lord had brought on him. And God did bring that on as a test. They gave him a piece of silver and a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He put him through this tremendous trial, but he blessed him more, gave him twice as much. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God blessed him with a family again. He lost his children, but he blessed him with more. And this is just a speculative thing, but when you look at the examples of Job's children, he was praying for them because they would go party in one house, party in another house, back and forth. So Job was worried about them. Did God allow them to die initially as a mercy to not have to have Job watch them go the wrong way? I don't know. It's just a question I've always kind of asked. It's one of those things where we don't know, but God does everything for a reason. So why he allowed his children to die and then turned around and blessed him with more, that is up to God. God sees in the long run. We tend to look in the short run. Our present life is temporary. The time we have is temporary. So God does things for the reason he sees fit. He looks from that bird's eye view and sees where we need to go, and all we see is the trees. And we have to remember that God is guiding us through that, guiding us through the forest. And I've actually been in, I was out hunting, which this kind of reminds me of that in a sense, but I was out hunting on a foggy day, so it was cloudy, really foggy, in a flat field full of nothing but cedar trees. I couldn't see 10 feet in any one direction. You go around one tree and around another tree and around another tree. That was tricky getting out of that. So sometimes when all you see is the trees, you just feel like you're lost along the way. And temporarily, sometimes we are. But God can guide us through that. I'd like to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And verse 25. And this is another common set of scriptures we go through. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life or what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? You know, we look at life now as we need those things. And God knows that. But we have to look to the long term as well. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are we not much more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do we worry about the clothing, considering the lilies of the field and how they grow? They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Back to this, you of little faith. Do we have the faith we need to get through the hard times? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things Gentiles seek. And I would say in this world, everybody seeks those, not just the Gentiles. Everybody seeks that. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So God will add these things to us. Eventually, if not in this life, we will have blessings that we can't even imagine to look forward to. We have so many things that God has given us a glimmer of, but we have to get through all these difficulties as well. You know, like Mr. Freeman said a couple weeks ago, we're rich. You know, we live in a country that's been blessed, and we have been blessed physically and spiritually. We've been given a calling and that hope and that purpose in life that most of the people in this world don't have. Our minds have been open to understand the future, to give us the vision and the hope to get through the hard times. It's kind of like the military, they have a saying, I'm sure you've all heard this, it's on a need-to-know basis. God gives us the things we need to know to get through those things, and then he gives us more information. So it's a process that we go through. And we need to remember that God knows why, how, when. He knows all those answers, and we don't always see it. God gives us enough information to see the beginning of what we look forward to, just the beginning. God also gives us the help through his Holy Spirit and the encouragement from the blessings to keep us going. I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. This verse has always been fascinating to me as well. But it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. If we love God and we put the kingdom as our main goal in life, our only goal really, then God has prepared tremendous things that we can't even comprehend. We don't even know where to start. Most of us have good imaginations, and we can dream up lots of things, but you know, it's not even entered to the heart of us to think about the things God has prepared. He has tremendous things in the future for us. Life is difficult at times, yet we know we will be blessed. Maybe not now, but we do have a lot of smaller blessings now, and we know we look forward to huge blessings in the future. God's will, we have to have the faith to know that God knows what's best for us in the long run, no matter what we go through. If we focus more on the blessings and less on the trials, it helps. If we spend time counting all the blessings we have, it gives us a whole lot less time to count the trials. I can go through my life, and I know I have a whole lot of blessings. I'm still around, for one thing. But it's easy to focus on the bad things, all the problems. But if we focus on the good things that we have had, the blessings that we have had, then we don't focus so much on the temporary problems. Now, let's take life one day at a time, one step after another, and keep looking forward, like Paul said, reaching forward, always reaching forward. We do need two things in life. We need the trials and we need the blessings according to God's will. We don't know what God needs us to go through. We don't know what things we'll face, but we need to trust that God's will, he can see a lot more than we do, and he knows why. And he knows there's a benefit to what we suffer. I'd like to turn to one other scripture in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God started that in us. He called us. He gave us the ability to look forward and to have that hope. We don't know why, and we don't know how, but God will work all things out.